Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
Welcome to Haunted Tales, your weekly dose of horror. We've got everything, from ghosts, cryptids, and curses, to deals with the devil, giant insects, and more. Sit back and enjoy this week's story after a little message from our friends.
I swear, I could see her in the darkness, lying there, staring at me like... Danny's voice broke, unable to finish the sentence, as the glass in his hand started to shake wildly, and he had to put the beer down on the table again. He tried, really, gave it his all, but those last words wouldn't come out. His friend was watching him, staring at him, while the bandage fixing his pinky and ring finger to his middle digit started to soak up spilled beer from the old banged-up table. There were people around them, their loud chatter masking the pure terror in his voice as he shook his head once more and forced himself to make eye contact again.
It wasn't her anymore, you know.
A slight nod was all the answer he got, so he took a breath, wiped his face, and still felt the chill deep in his bones, like he did every time he thought about last night. It wasn't his Caroline anymore. When they had gone to bed, she still was herself. He was sure of that. But sometime during the night, something must have taken her place. At least, that was what he told himself. The other option was that she had always been like that. Waited, bided her time, until she, or it, felt secure enough to show him its real face. Danny could feel his hand shaking, the wet bandage tapping against the table, softly splashing in a tiny beer puddle between him and his friend. He had thought getting a drink would help him, might calm his nerves, but it seemed to have the exact opposite effect. The trembling of his hands and finger got worse, and with it, the pain.
"You need to calm down," he heard his friend say, and only managed to shake his own head softly.
How should he calm down when the woman he wanted to spend the rest of his life with suddenly changed like that? He had seen her lying in the darkness next to him, smiling. Then he grabbed his left hand with his right to somehow stop the shaking, but it still didn't work. Was she herself, or was it something else in her place? Depending on the answer, he might be able to handle it. Don't be ridiculous, he chided himself immediately. What could his plan even be? Threatening her or it? Putting up a fight? His right hand accidentally touched the joint of his pinky, and the pain immediately pulled him out of his thoughts, like a glowing needle embedded between the bones. Danny winced as he pulled both his hands back and his eyes found the glass half full of beer again. Maybe that was the problem, he thought. Maybe he hadn't drank enough of it. Quickly, he picked it up with his uninjured hand, swallowing the second half like a madman, and could feel the stinging pain subsiding with every sip. He didn't miss his friend's concerned look, but chose to ignore it. How could he know what he was going through if he couldn't even talk straight about what had happened? The last drops ran past his mouth, dripped down his cheeks, and Danny finally felt the pressure subsiding a tiny bit. "Look," he began, wiping his mouth before scanning the people sitting and standing in their vicinity to make sure no one else was giving him any attention. "I woke up yesterday, as I always do. 6 o'clock sharp. Caroline was still sleeping. I went to work, like I always do,
managed to get there 5 minutes before 8. Everything was normal. I spent a day in my cubicle. Nothing out of the ordinary happened. At 6 p.m., I was home. Caroline didn't greet me. She was in the kitchen preparing the food, and I thought nothing of it. She seemed a little bit distant. I thought maybe it was just the weather. We sat, we ate, we watched a movie afterward, just like we always do. Again, she was a little bit distant, but it didn't seem too strange. We went to bed around 11 p.m., like we always do. He could feel the phone in his pocket vibrating, forcing him to stop and look down. Another missed call. Caroline. He had sent her a message when he had left work to not wait up. But this was now the 8th time she had tried to call. This wasn't normal for her. He stared at the screen a second longer, unsure if he should ignore her or try and find out what she wanted. Maybe she was herself again. Scared because she finally realized that something was wrong with her? The screen lit up anew, and Danny could hardly stifle a shriek as the tone announcing a new message hit his ears. It was her, or was it? The message simply read, "When are you coming home? I'm worried about you." He could feel his hands shaking again, shot his friend a look, who stared across the table with a quizzical expression. If it was the real her, he wanted to talk to her too. If it wasn't. Keeping up appearances might still be the best option. Then his fingers moved across the screen, answering her what he would normally do, short and to the point. His trembling thumb pressed the buttons on the screen. "Soon. Last beer, I promise." Even as he slid the phone back into his pocket, he could feel the strange pressure rising in his chest again. If he didn't finish his story soon, his voice would betray him once more. "So, we went to bed, like we always do, at around 11 p.m. Caroline seemed her normal self again, even though she hardly smiled when I think about it now. I was falling asleep quickly, but I still remember her fingers touching my arm, then moving up to hold my hand. Just like we did when we had first started dating. I remember it clearly. Then, it had to be sometime around 4 o'clock, was when I woke up. Pain shot through my left hand, the one she'd been holding all night long. It must have followed me into my dreams, because I still remember dreaming about my hand being stuck in some kind of vice. As I opened my eyes, I could see her, still lying there next to me. Her hand was holding mine, but her middle finger was wrapped around my pinky, pushing it back. I called out her name in shock and only then realized that her eyes were open. Her eyes were nearly glowing. She was smiling, grinning even, looking at me all the time. The pain got worse, and her smile widened, as did her eyes. I screamed at her, asked her what she was doing, if she was still asleep. She shook her head slowly, came closer, smiling and grinning all the while. "This is mine now," she said. I still remember trying to pull my hand back, but her vice-like grip didn't let me. She simply bent my finger back further and further as I screamed, and then suddenly it snapped. My back hit the mattress, the pain shot up my arm, and I tried to yank back my hand, but she had already grabbed hold of my second finger. Danny could feel the pulsing pain in his left hand coming back.
He felt every single shiver running through his digits, the warm, stinking liquid seeping into the bandage. I tried to jump out of bed, could see her, her eyes still glowing, her mouth grinning wider than I have ever seen anyone grin, while she held me back, in place, without moving even an inch. As I called out her name again, she simply shook her head and said, "That one too." And that was when the second sound of a breaking joint nearly made me lose my mind. He could feel his stomach cramping up, the shivers getting even worse, while his friend still looked at him, slightly shaking his head. She let go of me then, and I fell backwards out of the bed. Sure, she would come after me again, so I jumped up and raced toward the door. The room was silent around me. Nothing moved, and as I reached the entrance and pushed the light switch, I could see her again. Sleeping peacefully on her side of the bed. Not looking anywhere, not grinning, breathing calmly as if nothing had happened. He could still see his friend shaking his head softly, a worried look now on his face, and could feel the questions incoming, so he tried his best to preempt them. I didn't run further, but went to the bathroom and made myself this splint, he explained, raising the bandaged hand. And no, I didn't call the cops or go to the ER. Caroline was obviously sleeping again. Who would believe me if I told this story? I'd be in trouble if I showed up late, so I took some pills and headed out early. As to why I didn't wake her, I couldn't. I was scared, you know? What if she woke up and was completely normal again? I wouldn't know what to say. Or even worse, if I'd woken her up and seen this same strange glimmer in her eyes, her wide grin while she grabbed me again, breaking even more fingers? No. I decided then and there that I wouldn't step any closer to the bed than I absolutely had to. "Haven't you talked to her all day?" he heard his friend ask and immediately shook his head. "I've sent her a text as I left for work, just before calling you here. Hearing her voice now, I don't know, I think I might start to scream." "But you have to face her sometime. You know that, right?" Danny nodded while lowering his head. The alcohol was making him drowsy already. His chance of sleeping restfully tonight was practically nil. "I'll go home soon. Just, if I don't show up tomorrow, please." He could feel a hand touching his shoulder, could see his friend still staring at him with a strange, quizzical look, while nodding softly. "Don't worry. I'm sure there's a logical explanation." A part of him wanted to scream at his friend, but he already knew that it wouldn't lead him anywhere. What had he expected? That his friend would believe him instantaneously? Maybe that he would have some kind of explanation. This here, drinking beer in this disgusting pub, was nothing more than pushing off the inevitable. He could hardly run away, could he? No. But at least it had given him some time to get one thing straight. He hadn't imagined it. Last night had happened. His memories already seemed a tiny bit hazy, but there was no longer any doubt in his mind that it was real. He wasn't imagining it, just as he wasn't imagining the pain still shooting through his fingers, now that the painkillers had worn off. Then he pushed the chair back and stood up before reaching for his wallet and seeing his friend immediately shaking his head. "I'll take care of it. You go home and face your wife. And shoot me a text when you're there. Just to let me know, you know?" He could see the look on his friend's face and felt a stinging pain in his hand again. Bob and him had known each other for nearly a decade now, but he had never seen him look at him like this. Like he was some strange animal, a curiosity. He probably thought that he had lost his mind. No surprise at all. Danny had known all day that he'd be alone in this. No one would truly believe him, not unless he had any proof. He smiled nonetheless, thanked his friend before heading out of the pub. Noises and smells stayed behind him as he heard a door in his back falling shut. His car was standing in the same spot he had left it, and Danny already thought about pulling out his key, but stopped himself at the last moment. Driving home was a bad idea. He had been drinking, but what was far worse was his state of mind. Both of his hands were shaking. He felt the same pressure in his chest as before, and if he was honest, thoughts of simply driving past his home were now starting to appear in his mind. It would be easier, they told him. Far less dangerous, just to keep on driving, to start anew, somewhere else. He shook his head. This wasn't a time or place for such thoughts. Caroline would call the police, and simply disappearing was impossible anyway. She'd find him. Maybe it would come after him first. This thing that had taken her place. No, running away wouldn't solve anything. He walked across the lot, toward the street, not even daring to give his car another glance. With his hands still shaking, Danny stepped onto the curb, looking up and down the street while waiting for a taxi. It shouldn't be too hard, he thought to himself. Normally, a few of them liked staying in this area, driving around, waiting for someone with too much sense and too much money looking for them. He was sure he'd pay a premium tonight, but he didn't care. All that mattered now was how his wife would react to him coming home, what she would say, what he would do. A light blinded him and pulled him out of his thoughts as the sound of an engine slowing down filled the streets, and he finally noticed a taxi rolling toward his position. He got in, gave his address, and sank back into his deep contemplation before the tires started to spin again. Somehow, he needed a weapon. It didn't matter what it was, as long as he could hide it somewhere on his person. The small house he had bought together with his wife, not even 2 years ago, should be full of stuff like that. But he didn't want to step foot into it without being sufficiently prepared. No. He needed something before he crossed the threshold, before he encountered Caroline or whatever thing had taken her place. The taxi came to a sudden stop, and Danny felt his heartbeat rising. Quickly he paid, hopped out of the car, and ran across the small lawn that hadn't been mowed in a few weeks. He needed something, anything. There was light on inside the house. She, or it, was still awake. Waiting. Might come out any second now. Hurriedly he looked around. Caroline's garden ornaments were practically everywhere. One uglier than the last. He used to make light-hearted fun of her for them. But right now, as his eyes fell upon a rusted flower pot shaped like a flamingo, he felt relief. Danny walked over to the grotesque thing, lifting the pot out of the strange frame, before grabbing one of its legs and pulling it off easily. A rusted metal bar, thin but still heavy, was now in his hands with the foot of a flamingo on one end. Better than nothing, he thought, sticking his makeshift weapon behind his belt and covering it with his jacket as best he could. Not a moment too early. Just as he pulled it closed, he could feel eyes falling upon him. And half a second later, heard the front door being opened. Light was falling onto the lawn, and in its middle, his wife's elongated shadow. It looked monstrous. Danny could feel himself shivering at the thought. The pain running through his hand got nearly unbearable for a second. "You're home!" He heard her voice, cheerful yet worried. The metal bar in his back scraped against his shirt, and Danny hoped that it wouldn't scratch his skin. "Yeah," he answered, feeling and sounding completely exhausted. He walked toward her, finally found the nerve to look at his wife, to search her face for any sign of who was standing there in front of him. She looked normal. There were those little wrinkles on her forehead. He had loved them from the first day they had met. Her eyes shimmered. Her pained smile made him remember countless nights they had spent sitting on the sofa, talking about their future. He could feel his mind nearly breaking from the fight that was going on in his head. Part of him wanted to believe that he had made everything up, that she was still his wife, who he loved, and he had hurt himself during a very real-looking nightmare. The other voices in his mind howled at him as he got closer, told him to take out his makeshift weapon to defend himself from the monster now standing in front of him. But she looked tired and sad and anxious. Danny kissed her on the cheek, could feel the tension in his chest as his lips touched her skin, and was certain she would grab him any moment now. She didn't. He heard her breathing, felt her hand softly touching his arm before he stepped past her into their home. "Jesus, Danny, what did you do to your hand?" He heard her hiss suddenly, fingers grabbing his wrist, and he jumped and pulled his arm back instinctively. His eyes met hers again. She stared at him, shocked, terrified, while he knew his own expression had to be one of pure terror. "You don't remember?" he asked her, his voice hardly more than a whisper. She shook her head, stepped back away from him toward the closed door. "Last night, you really don't know anything?" He could see her expression change, fear and dread mixing themselves, tears forming in her eyes. The iron bar stung in his back. His hands were shaking, the pain growing more and more intense with every moment. "You did this," he spat out, feeling the anger and fear overpowering his rational mind, raising his hand where the bandage had turned a yellowish color from the beer that had soaked it. She shook her head, tears were now running down her face. "No," she hissed, holding her head between her hands. "No, no, 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 no." Danny froze in shock. This wasn't how it should have gone down. It was wrong. Everything was wrong. There in front of him was his wife, not some kind of monster. But her reaction, she knew something. One last time, he heard her groan. "No." Before she suddenly jumped and raced past him, pushing him out of the way. In the instant her shoulder met his, he could see it. One half of her face, the lip turned upward in a crooked smile. Danny felt his back colliding with the wall, pain shooting through his hand as his wife's footsteps echoed around the house. What was happening here? What should he do? What could he do? Was she still his wife or not? If she was, then she was suffering right now. He couldn't abandon her. But if this thing was just playing with him, this might be the only chance to run away. Danny pushed himself off the wall and looked around. Nothing in this house had changed. There was no trace of anything being amiss. He heard a door slamming shut upstairs, in the back part of the house where the bed and bathroom were. Nothing besides this he corrected himself in his mind, pulling out the thin metal bar as he finally came to a decision. He had to believe his wife was still there. She wouldn't abandon him either. At least not before whatever was happening to her now had taken over. He could hear the lock of the bathroom door clicking, the sound traveling through the now completely quiet house. Danny followed it, walked slowly through the rooms he had thought of as safe even 24 hours ago. There were faint moaning and crying sounds in the air as he reached the stairs and ascended them, the metal rod still in his hand. His whole body was tense, the painful throbbing in his fingers now mimicked his heartbeat. Danny couldn't stop to think about what he was going to do. The only thing he could focus on right now was getting to his wife, finding out what was going on and how to help her. Maybe call an ambulance, or, in the worst case, the police on her. His mind reeled at the thought. If she had a mental break, calling the cops might end terribly. First, he needed to know if she was still okay, still herself. His foot reached the last step, and now he could hear her crying through the walls. She was back there in the bathroom, he realized at a glance. The only door that was shut, where light could be seen shining through the gap above the floor. His grip on the metal rod tightened as he walked toward it, trying not to make too much noise. He wanted to know if anything changed. If his wife stopped crying and started making any other sounds, like cackling. A cold chill ran down his back as his imagination ran wild. Her, laughing maniacally. Danny shook his head to chase those thoughts away, calmed himself down, and finally reached the door. He put his ear against it, heard sobbing, then the sound of her feet squeaking on the tiled floor. What was she doing in there? In his mind's eye, he could see her, sitting on the floor, her back against the tub, crying and kicking out. His heart was breaking. "Are you in there?" he whispered, knowing the answer but wanting to hear her voice. She didn't speak, only sobbed, and Danny felt the metal rod in his hand starting to shake violently. The sound it made, clanking against the wood of the door, gave him chills. "Can you let me in? Please, let me help you." He heard her screaming, "No!" immediately. The sound of footsteps coming closer, her body hitting the other side of the door, blocking it as she began to cry even louder. "You need to go! Run! Please!" Danny realized he had taken a step back, extended his injured hand to touch the door, and felt the vibrations through his broken fingers. "Please, Caroline, let me in. There's something wrong." She sobbed again. He heard her sliding down the door, could see her shadow in the gap while she howled and cried.
I thought I only dreamed it,"
she mumbled between sobs.
"I don't know what's going on. Please leave. I don't feel right."
Danny shook his head. "I'm not gonna leave you. I promised. You remember our vows?" His own voice was cracking. The metal rod in his hand shook uncontrollably now. "Please, let me help you." She didn't give him an answer again. Sobbed loudly. What could he do? Break down the door? The thought was laughable. He turned, let himself sink down against the frame of the door, just like she must have done. That was the answer he could give to his question. Wait. at least until Caroline had calmed herself enough to talk to him. He could call an ambulance then. "I'll stay with you," he said, setting down the metal rod next to him while his shoulder and back were propped against a frame. "Just as I promised." Those words were meant for himself just as much as her. Leaving her in such a crisis would be cruel. Even though he still had no idea what was going on, he had made up his mind the second he had chosen not to get into his own car. They'd get through this somehow, he promised her, while she continued sobbing on the other side of the door. He couldn't think of anything to do except keep talking. She never answered anymore, while he told her about whatever came to his mind. Starting with their first date, how he felt, what it was like for him up to their wedding. He had told those stories time and time again. Knew she would already know everything he was telling her, but still found comfort in reliving these memories. A happier time, one without dread. But he wanted to make it clear to her that he wouldn't leave her. She had to know that much. He intended to keep his marriage vows no matter what happened. Danny could feel time running along while he continued talking. Her sobs getting quieter and quieter. The light above him was burning as bright as ever, while the night outside seemed to grow darker by the minute. He could feel himself getting tired, his mouth becoming dry, his tongue and eyelids heavy. Last night, he hadn't slept much. This day had been stressful too. He could feel himself getting comfortable, sitting upright, propped against a frame. At least he'd know if she opened the door. And if she didn't, tomorrow morning he would call an ambulance. He could feel the exhaustion making his body go limp. Caroline was snoring softly on the other side of the door. It sounded like words, he thought, and quietly chuckled to himself. Everything would be okay tomorrow morning. He remembered that he had promised Bob to text him, but that too, right now, seemed far too strenuous. All he wanted to do right now was to relax and sleep a few hours. Danny closed his eyes, felt his mind going blank, and as he opened them again, what seemed like only a second later, the whole house was filled with darkness. It took him a few moments to realize where exactly he was right now. The frame in his back was still there, but the light bulb above him had gone out. Soft moonlight shone through the window, illuminating him weakly as something moved somewhere in his back. He could feel it, tried to turn, but felt a force holding his head in place. Straining his eyes to look back there, he could see absolute darkness waiting behind him. The door to the bathroom stood open. His shock turned to panic as he tried again to move, felt the long, cold fingers on his neck, keeping him in place with a vice-like grip. "You belong to me now," the voice hissed in his ear. Hairs touched his cheek, and he could see something glowing back there in the darkness. Eyes, cold and cruel, appeared in his peripheral vision as the face slowly came out of the darkness into the moonlight. Caroline was smiling again, grinning from ear to ear as her hand strengthened its grip around Danny's neck. He screamed, grabbed hold of the metal rod lying by his side, but immediately felt another hand fixing his wrist and pressing down on it with inhuman strength. "You both belong to me," the voice cackled again, seemingly overjoyed. Danny struggled, tried to get away, but the fingers holding him felt like steel. It pulled at him. He slipped from his position, grabbed the arm with his left injured hand and felt pain shooting through his whole body as the thing pressed down on his neck. Panicked, he looked around. Could see the moon outside the window, its light shining into the house, illuminating the creature coming out from the darkness. Its face a mask of joy and pain, grinning from ear to ear while tears were streaming down its cheeks. Danny screamed again, howled from pain and fear as it began pulling him backward into the darkness where no light would shine. He could feel her, Caroline, still sobbing and crying somewhere in there too. The thing cackled again, looked right into his eyes as it pulled him along. Its head and face disappeared in the shadows of the bathroom. Danny tried to grab hold of the frame with his injured hand, felt the pain again as his other arm got pulled in already. It was cold in there, piercingly so. He screamed for his life, felt his fingers slipping off the wooden frame. "You belong to me," it hissed with a last jerk, and pulled him into the darkness too.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoyed this week's story. If you did, please consider supporting us on buymeacoffee.com/hauntedtalespod. If you have anything to share with us, be it comments, story ideas you would like to hear, or just cute pictures of your pet, you can find all of our social media links in the episode descriptions. Until next time.